to today's plot already?
No, because I didn't start myself. Okay, we are up to the new perek on your Gimel Amud Aleph. Halakech uber parasa shalevik echavim. This Mishnah sounds suspiciously like the first Mishnah in the first perek, except instead of talking about the peter chamer, it's talking about the peter cow. Yeah. So here we're talking about where somebody bought the unborn child of a cow that belonged to a guy, lahamoichaloi, or someone who sells his unborn cow to a guy. Avo bishit.
Just the uber or the whole cow with the
sheep? Not the fetus. Okay. We could sell the rest of the cow as well, but that's not particularly relevant. Yeah, but it's not relevant. If he sells the cow to the guy, there's nothing to talk about. Yeah. Even though, ain't a rashoy, like we said in the first parak, you're not allowed to sell a behemah gasa to a guy. Lamishtatafloy, if he has a partnership with him, I'm a kabbal imenu, if he's got a deal up on a commission percentage deal that he works for it and they split the kids, a nice lab of Kabbalah, or he owns the cow and the guy works for him and they split the kids. In all of those cases, potim and abachura, there's no din abachush and never be Yisrael of a loy b'achirim, that the peter rechem is what was the lashon nikdash to call b'achir b'Yisrael, only if it's a Jewish cow and not if the cow has a non-Jewish component. Hakoinim b'levim chayovim, because Hakoinim and a Kohen and a Levi, if they own a cow and the cow has a firstborn child, they have to. That cow becomes a bechor, the bull, the calf, whatever it's called. Yeah, the child is a bechor. That's what it means by chayovim over here. Because even though a Kohen and a Levi has a ptur from bechura, but they were not potter from that case of a bechor behemah, of a kosher bechor. They only exempt from pidin haben. Sorry?
You just have to give it to
them. No, it's a carbon. That's why they're chayovim. Yeah, because a pidin haben they don't have to do, and a petach hamar they don't have to do. Pidin haben and petach hamar are both fundamentally financial issues, whereas the bechor is a carbon. Okay, so the Gemara asks the obvious question: why did we start the first perek with the peter chamor, and only now we start talking about a kosher animal? So the Gemara asks, "My ear, Tani uber chamor bereisha. Why did it start with the unborn donkey first? For hara Tani uber parasa, and then it moves on to the second perek where it talks about the unborn cow. Listen, bereisha with parasa, there's the gufo. You would have thought that would come first. That's a carbon. It's a holy. It's mamish more holy." Then it should only talk about Uber Chamayr, which is Domimhu, because it's only a financial matter, and even then it's a pretty shaky one, because there are circumstances where the pigeon is still is chulin, so it's not even, it's even a weaker Kedushas Domim. So why start with that? It's Omri B'Marava. So they said on Eretz Yisrael, Ibai saying, well, one reason is Eide de Chavivalei Keder Abichanina, either because it's more interest, chaviva, what do we call it, it's dearer, the more, it's more interesting to talk about. Like Rabbi Chanina said, we had the whole drush, why did they have pitra chamorim instead of not susim, why dafke donkeys and not horses and camels, because the donkeys helped them by Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we happened to start this perek Pesach time, so therefore it made a lot of sense to mention that first. It was chaviv, they wanted to talk about that. The Iboy is saying, well, another reason it could be either the Zutrin Mili, which I think Rashi brought in the first parak already, because there's only a few things to say about it, of Behemoth Tzmeya, is Pasik Vishadale, he wants to get it out of the way. So the first parak talks about the Behemoth Tzmeya, and the rest of the Masechta now is about Behemoth Tahira. Amar of Yitzchak Bar Nachmeni, Amar of Shlokish Meshum Abishya. Yisrael Shad Nasan Moist Lebekechavim. Now, some laws of, again, of a guy is involved. What happens if a Jew gave the money to a guy, bivahemtoi, to buy his animal, bidinehem, and they were doing it, so bidinehem means according to the civil law, yeah, when you give the money, then it's yours. Yeah, so the money is the money is the determining factor. So he gave the money to the non-Jew to buy the animal. is afal pichaloy moshach. So normally, if you buy something from a Jew, when does the kinyan take place? When you pull the animal, mashicha. But if you give it to a non-Jew, and you're going according to the secular law, as soon as you gave the money, it's kona. So it belongs to the Jew, and therefore chayeves bebechura. Then he will have to make the bechur that's born will be all rules of bechur. The other way around, if the non-Jew gives the money, hands over the money to the Jew to buy his animal, again, according to the secular law, even though the goy didn't make a mashicha, also kana. The goy acquires it, now it belongs to a non-Jew, it's potter. So that's what, who said all those guys? You mean he's physically standing in his backyard? Correct. It all depends on the money. Because that's definitely in civil law, it's the money. Is Omar Mars, and now the Gemara discusses this thing, which Lokish to Nemeravisha, etc. We said, Yisrael, Shazam Mois Levikachav Bedinayim, Apol Pichalem Moshe, Kanam Chavis Zechura. What do you mean, Bedinayim? My Bedinayim? What do you mean, in their laws? In name of Bedinayim, the Gufi, if you're saying Bedinayim, the Gufi, not Bedinayim like I translated, according to their laws, but the Nahem, according to the law of how you acquire a non-Jew himself, right? So you can acquire a non-Jew as a slave, you can acquire a non-Jewish cow as a cow. Yeah? Sorry? Oh, 1 second. So how do you acquire an Eved Knani? The Osti B'Kavachor, now one of the ways that you can acquire an Eved Knani is with Kesef. Yeah? The Osti B'Kavachor, and then we learn a Kavachor. Im gufe kani la Yisrael bekesef. If you can acquire the non-Jew himself to be an Eved Knani with money, d'chsiv lo b'eshes achuzah. How do I know that that's true? Because when it talks about having an Eved Knani, the Torah calls it an achuzah, an inheritance. Hikishi akasav l'achuzah, comparing it to an inheritance. Ma achuzah din is bekesef shtar v'chazakah. When you have an achuzah, you want to make a kinyan on something. Yeah, like land. Chuzah usually means land, yeah? So you're comparing him to, we talked about an Eved Hukshulu Kakois, is a general statement. Just like you acquire land. Land is acquired because of a star of a chazaka, with money, with a contract, or with some action of showing ownership. Is after the Kanani, similarly, the non-Jewish slave, Nikna Bekesef, and also star chazaka, but we're talking here about Kesef. So therefore, if you can acquire the non-Jew himself by giving him the money, is mamoinoi le kol shekein? Isn't it a kavachomer that you can acquire his cow by giving him the money? Le kol shekein hu. So therefore, that's what we're saying. Bedinehem means, why? How do I know that if you gave the money to the non-Jew, the cow is yours? Because madach, if you give him the money to acquire him, he's yours. So if you give money to acquire his cow, how much more so? Izim Cain, if so, says the Gemara, Afilu b'shtar v'chazaka nami, then why doesn't he mention the shtar and the chazaka? Yeah, because if that's what he wants to say, how do I know money works because it's the same as acquiring an Eved Knani, then he should have said, instead of Yisrael shet nosan mois, he should have said Yisrael shet nosan mois or shtar or hechzik or something like that. Yeah, and furthermore, this kavachomer is opgeschlagged anyway, because Yisrael, mi Yisrael, yechichu, when you acquire a Jewish Eved, an Eved Ivri, that will prove that just because you acquire the person himself with money, doesn't mean you acquire his possessions with money. The gufe konilei bekesef. To acquire an Eved Ivri, you can do with kesef, but if you want to acquire the property of a Jew, you do not acquire it by handing over the money, you have to do a mashicha. So your kavachomer is out the window anyhow. So dinayim now doesn't. So they were saying, okay, that doesn't work. We can't say that the word bidinayim here means that he acquires the non-Jew's property with money, because it's learned out from acquiring the non-Jew himself. Elam Rabbaya. So therefore, Rabbaya says, what's the pshat bidinayim that Rish Lakish said in the name of Ishia? Pshapaska lehem Teira. The law that Teira, it means their law that Teira said. The Torah said, what's the law for a non-Jew to acquire something in a financial acquisition? The Torah says in Parshas Bahar, when you buy something, when you buy something from your friend or you sell something. When you sell something to your friend, or you acquire from your friend, and we say that it's miyad. That tells you you take it from his hand and you pull it. Miyad amisecha, but there it says dafke amisecha. Amisecha means your mate. Who's your mate? Your fellow Jew. Yeah, as hudim mishicha. That's where you the way to acquire a object is by pulling it. Ha miyad evikechavim. But if you go, but it's excluding. What's amisecha to exclude that if you're acquiring an object from a non-Jew is bekesef. It's with money. So therefore the din is, I mean, dinehem means the halacha. The halacha is that to acquire from a non-Jew, you do it with money. As ve'ema, so how do you know that that's coming to say? That a Jew you acquire with mashicha, and a goy therefore being excluded. Must be bekesef. How do you know that it doesn't say there that the goy you can acquire from him bekesef? Ve'ema miyad evikecham klal klal loy. Maybe there's no such thing as a kinyan with a goy, and therefore it's like possession is 9/10 of the law. So once you've got it in your house, okay, it's yours. But maybe giving him the money, if it's still in the goy's house, doesn't acquire it. How did you work out that kesef acquires him? It doesn't say that anywhere. All it tells you is that mashicha doesn't work. It tells you that it doesn't say that kesef does work. Is Amri answered the Gemara? Let's look at Daitich. Because of Kavachomer, if you can acquire, if there is a way to make a kinyan, forget about what the mechanism is. If you can make a kinyan on the guy's body, his, and he becomes an Ebekanani, there must be a method of making a kinyan for a non-Jew, right? So if the method, when you buy something from a non-Jew, there is a method, we know that, but we don't know what it is, and we know it's not Mashicha, so we're going to assume it's money until proven otherwise, yeah. So the Gemara asks, "Vaiteva ema." Maybe it means miyadavikachavim that when you acquire something from a non-Jew, it was adi ikatarti. Maybe you need both. When the Torah tells you that mashicha is sufficient to acquire an object from a Jew, that's because he's a Jew. But when you acquire from a non-Jew, maybe you need both. Maybe the pshat is you need money and mashicha, and until you've done both, you haven't acquired it. As Omri said, the Gemara answers a similar answer. V'lav kavachaim chaimerhu. It's a kavachaimer again along the same lines. Gufay ba'achas, when you acquire the guy himself, we've already established that you can acquire him with money with only one type of mechanism. Mamoina b'shtayim. So what are you going to tell me? That you acquire him with one mechanism, and to acquire his property you need two? That doesn't make sense. It should be more difficult to acquire a person than it is to acquire a piece of property. So the Gemara says, okay, again, just because Amisecha excludes a guy, maybe Ema oibaha oibaha. Maybe the pshat is that with a goy you have a choice. With a Jew, the only way to make a kinyan is with mashicha. But with a non-Jew, you have a choice. Either mashicha or money. So the Gemara answers, that can't be right. Because dumi damisecha. Yes, we're excluding from amisecha, we're excluding the non-Jew. But then we still say the non-Jew has to have some similar parameters. Ma amisecha b'chad. Just like the Torah tells you, when you acquire something from a Jew, there is one, you only need to do one. You only need to do one thing, and it can be only one thing. It's Mashicha. When you acquire from a non-Jew, there's only one choice in how to make that kinyan, and that is with money. Okay, so that was the first part of Resh Lakish, was that talking about a Jew acquiring from a non-Jew. Now we go back to discuss Amar Mar. Now we're talking about a non-Jew acquiring the cow from the Jew, and he gives him, and again it says bidinehem. So there we say when the goy gives over the money, it becomes the goy's, and therefore there's no bechor if it gives birth to a firstborn. Yeah, but what does he say? Again, it says bidinehem. Again, what does bidinehem mean? Yeah, afal pishalei mashachim, that a goy didn't do a mashicha kana upatim bechor. Again, the Gemara says my bidinehem. What do we mean over here, bidinehem? If you're going to try same thing you're going to attempt before, acquiring the person himself. Yeah. Now here we're talking about a non-Jew acquiring a Jew. There is such a thing that if a Jew goes bankrupt and he's desperate, then he sells himself to a goy for servitude. So there is such a thing, and that is also with how does a goy acquire him with money? Is again. You're going to tell me that it's a kavachomer. Mishum da'asu b'kavachomer. Im kufoi shol yisrael kani lebe kesef. If the goy can acquire the body of the non-Jew to be his eved, it can be kani lebe kesef. Dichsiv mikesef miknosai. Mikesef miknosai. Even though the kesef miknosai is not talking about that, but we learn it out. Kesef miknosai. It was compared to kesef miknosai. But eved ivri. Yeah, sorry. Eved ivri animkal lebe kechavim. It talks about kesef miknosai. So it calls it kesef. It says you acquire him with money. So if the Jew himself can be acquired by the goy with money, mamonai le kol shekein, the Jew's property, when a goy wants to buy something from a Jew, isn't it a kal vachomer that the non-Jew acquires it just by handing over the money? So the Gemara says, no, not a kal vachomer. Because Yisrael, Yisrael, Yechichu, I can upslug a kal vachomer when a Jew acquires another Jew to be an eved ivri. That proves that it ain't so. The gufay kani bekesef, when you acquire the Jew himself, you hand over money. But when you acquire the Jew's property, you have to do mashicha. So maybe it's the same thing with the non-Jew. Even though the non-Jew acquires a Jew by handing over money, to acquire the Jew's possession, maybe he has to do mashicha. So you can't learn a kal vachomer b'dinehem from a kal vachomer from the body of the person to his possessions. El amar maya again b'dinehem shepaskel lahem Torah means the Torah law. Dinayim, the law, according to the law of the Torah, when a non-Jew would buy something from a Jew, then it's with money. Because, how do I know that? This is the same pasuk we talked about before. The pasuk says there, economy out of misecha. So before, we're talking about a Jew acquiring from another Jew, excluding acquiring from a goy. Now we're talking about a Jew sells to another Jew, yeah, excluding selling to a goy. When you sell something to another Jew, the mechanism for him acquiring it is Mashicha. When you sell something to a non-Jew, it's Bekesef, it's when the money's handed over. Again, the Gemara says, how can you make such a diuk? Maybe there's no such thing as selling it to a non-Jew. Or there is no such kinyan, there's no such mechanism, unless the guy actually takes it home with him and he's got it in his house, then it's his. But there's no such thing as a kinyan mechanism with a non-Jew when you sell to a non-Jew. Is again, says the Gemara, the same kavachem we said last time, Omri, lav kavachemeru, im gufei kana, if a guy can make a kinyan on a Jew to acquire him by handing over money, he doesn't have to schlep him into his house or lock him up or whatever you would do. He just, once he hands over the money, the transaction takes effect. Mamone le kol shekein, shouldn't it be a kal vachomer that there's a method of doing the transaction that it can acquire the property of a Jew? So again, the Gemara asks the same question as before. Maybe when a goy wants to acquire something from a Jew, he has to do two things, hand over the money and do mashicha. As again, we said, lav kal vachomer, the same answer. Gufei be'echo, when a goy wants to acquire the Jew himself, he only needs one mechanism. He wants to acquire his possessions, he needs two. It doesn't make sense that it should be harder to acquire possessions than to acquire a person himself. Again, maybe the guy has a choice when he's buying from a Jew, either money or mashicha. Is again, same answer. It has to be similar to a Jew acquiring from another Jew. Just like when one Jew acquires from another, he only needs to do one mechanism. The mashicha is afek v'chavim nami ba'achas. When the non-Jew acquires from a Jew, he needs only one mechanism, which is money. Okay, so that's Resh Lakish Amar Mishum Raboshia. The two things, when a Jew acquires from a goy, when a goy acquires from a Jew, in both cases, he says, it's all about the money. The Benjamins. It's all about the Benjamins, right? When the money's given over, you know what a Benjamin is? Never heard of it.
Not on TV?
No. Benjamin is on a $100 note. Benjamin Franklin. So when people say it's about the Benjamins, they mean it's about the money. Benjamin. Bibi.
It's an American expression.
Well, it has to be. Well, I guess.
American.
Oh, Benjamin Franklin. I don't, he was not Jewish. No. His name was Benjamin, but anyway. We digress. Is Omri, now the Gemara says, what about according to Amemar? One second, we have the opinion of Amemar. The Omar Mashicha Bavikachavim Koine. He says that a Mashicha does work by an Andrew. Yeah? So is that going to fit in with Rav Ishia or not?
To sell, it's both.
Sorry?
Buy to sell or both.
I'm assuming it means both. That Mashiach applies to a non-Jew just like it does to a Jew. Is Hanicha Yisav like Rabbi Yechanan? If he holds like Rabbi Yechanan, the Amar Devar Torah Mois Koinos. That Min HaTorah, even a Jew to a Jew, Min HaTorah, the mechanism for acquiring is handing over money. And Mashiach, and the sign says, Mashiach Loi Kanya. And Mashiach doesn't work. Yeah? So therefore you could say that, so Min HaTorah, when it says Amisecha, it means money. Yeah, Min HaTorah. The whole thing of not making a kinyan with money is only midrabanan. Because we don't want that the guy hands over the money, the thing is still in the house of the seller, and then it burns down, and the seller goes, bad luck for you. Yeah, so therefore they were masakin that it's not, that the kinyan takes place when you actually take possession. But Min HaTorah, if you handed over the money, even though the stuff's still sitting in your house, that's kinyan. Yeah, so therefore Min HaTorah, when it says Amisecha to exclude the non-Jew, it's exactly the opposite. A Jew to a Jew is with money, and a non-Jew involved is Fakir. It's not money, it's Mashiach. Yeah, so if he holds like that, is a Hani Lamisecha, Hani? Yeah, Hani Lamisecha. So what do we learn from the word Lamisecha? That Lamisecha bekesef, exactly the opposite is what we were saying before. That when one Jew acquires from another, it's money. But Lebekechav, it's Mashiach. When a non-Jew is involved, then it's Mashiach. Then it makes sense for a Meimar to say that Mashiach bevekechav and kaina. That's how a Meimar says, okay, Mashiach works for a non-Jew. Eli savolok Rish Lakish. But if he holds like Rish Lakish, to have Mashiach mefureches min haTorah, then he says that the whole concept of Mashiach is not a rabbinical takana to make a kinyan with the Mashiach, but that's what the Torah tells you. And he learns it out from those words, Miyad Amisecha, which is Mashma, handing it over from one hand to the other, Mashiach. And Rish Lakish says it's Min HaTorah, that when one Jew acquires from another, the mechanism is Mashiach. Is that means Lamisecha, Mashiach. So it's telling you, a Jew to a Jew is Mashiach. That means Levikechavim, Mashiach. Alright, so if Rav Meimar holds that Levikechavim is also a Mashiach, so it doesn't work, because Lamisecha is supposed to exclude the goy. If you're telling me that a kinyan between two Jews and a kinyan between a Jew and a non-Jew is exactly the same, Ameimar, is Lamisecha lamali. Why does the Torah say dafke to your landsman, to your co-Jew, fellow Jew? Is Omri, so Ameimar will tell you, you're right. Really, everybody's got the same type of kinyan. So what is the Lamisecha coming to tell you? Lamisecha to machzareino. If you pay too much or pay too little, yeah, then the din is, so we know the din is that if the price turned out to be not right, so if the price, if someone got ripped off more than 1/6 of the value, then the sale is null and void and you start all over again. If he got ripped off less than 1/6, then we assume that the person is moichel. Okay, you underpaid, you overpaid a little bit, not the end of the world. If it's exactly 1/6, we say the din is that the kinyan takes place, but he's got to return the overpayment or underpayment. Yeah, it's kano machzireino. So when does that apply? Says Rameimar Lamisecha. When one Jew buys from another, you have the concept of ata machzireino. If you overpaid by 1/6 or underpaid by 1/6, the transaction's valid, but the money has to be paid back. But ata machzireino l'knani. But if you, let's say, a non-Jew bought from you, and you overcharged him by 1/6, you do not need to return that extra money. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? That comes from economy out of Misecha? That's the halacha, but that doesn't come from that pasuk. L'knan is me'el al-toinu ichesachim nafke. That's learned when it talks about Einoah. This isn't talking about Einoah, it's talking about buying something. Einoah means cheating, yeah? So the pasuk says, al-toinu ichesachim, don't cheat. One man should not cheat his brother. Yeah, so it's his brother, and not the non-Jew is not his brother. And that's where we learn that there's no returning of overpayment to a non-Jew. So the Gemara says, no, that's talking about, that Achiv is coming to exclude what? Hektish. Or one of them, Achiv and Amisecha. One is to exclude Chad B'Knani V'Chad B'Hektish. One to tell you that there's no paying back overpayments to a non-Jew, and one that there's no paying back with Hektish. Utzrich, and he did them both. Dikas of Rachman Achad. If it would tell me only one, hava min al knani hu da ein lo yano, I would say if a knani overpaid you, then there's no ayna. If you if you ripped off a non-Jew, so the Torah says, okay, there's no din of returning it, aval hektish, but when you ripped off hektish, or hektish ripped you off, but probably more to the point of hektish, if you ripped off hektish, yesh leino, you would assume that there is a din of aino, kamash malon, that for hektish also no. Yeah, and of course the din is that when you redeem something from hektish, even if you took something worth $1,000 and redeemed it for $1, it's not very ethical, but it's the transaction works. Yeah, so there's no way no for hektish. Okay, hanicha. Now the Gemara asks further. Hanicha l'man damar gzeila yezosur. So all this will make sense if you say that when someone stole something from a non-Jew, yeah, you're not allowed to. Stealing from a non-Jew is osur. As Haina the Ishtar Krala Mishreinah. So therefore, need a pasuk to tell you stealing from him is osur. But if you overcharged him for something, you don't have to return it. Yeah, so you need to tell me that. You might think if I can't steal from him, I can't overcharge him either, and I have to return it. But if you hold that you're actually allowed to steal from him, as I know, my boy, if I can steal from him, Amish, then I can for sure keep an overpayment. So I don't need the pasuk for the guy. As again, Omri, if you hold, if a Meimar holds, like the one who says you're allowed to steal from him, you're right. You don't need a pasuk to tell me that I don't have to return the overpayments, and therefore I'll karklach Rabbi Yochanan Sfirulei. You must hold like Rabbi Yochanan, who says that a Jew is kena with money, and therefore your amisecha is just excluding the guy from money and having a mashicha. Okay, Meisavei, next question. Halakeach grutois min evikachavim. A person's buying grutois means pieces of silver, not coins, but just pieces of silver, whatever they're called, silver
ingots.
Gold ingots. You have silver ingots as well. Okay, whatever they are, the pieces of silver. Or matzah behen evikachavim. So he brings home the box of silver things, bocce balls or whatever it is, and he finds inside there a piece of Avodah Zarah, a little idol attached. Wow. If he hasn't given yet the money, Moshach, even though he took it, but he hasn't paid the money yet, is Yachzer. You haven't paid the money yet? Just give it back and say, sorry, I don't want your Avodah Zarah, and the sale is off, and it's back where we started. But if he took it after he had already paid over the money, Yol Ichano Liam HaMelech. So now, within that, he's got Avodah Zarah that he's got there. He's got to throw it out. He's not going to have no way to ever benefit from it. He's got to throw it into the Dead Sea. I always wondered about throwing it into the Dead Sea, because if you throw it in the Dead Sea, it's going to float. Probably better off throwing it into the Mediterranean Sea. But that's a side point. Yeah? You ever gone in the Dead Sea?
Yeah.
I went swimming in the Dead Sea, and you float. You can't go down. Opposed to silver would sink in the Dead Sea? Kenzan. Okay. Anyway, the problem here is not about whether you can float in the Dead Sea or not. The question...
It's harder for people to get down to pick it up. Uh-huh.
It's a metal, it will drown anyway.
A metal would drown anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
If it's a wood, it will be eaten by salt.
Okay, so, well, it's a box, so it's a silver of it, is all I was on. Anyhow, we're digressing again. The Iyamarta Mois Kainais, if you hold, like Rabbi Yochanan, that money is kaina. So even if you gave over the money and didn't make a mashicha lamali, who cares about the mashicha when it's the money that counts? Yeah, and it's in Tinderaisa. You can't make it lenienter than Minatoira. And therefore, it should be kaina. And now you've got the Avodah Zarah, you've got to throw it out. How can you give it back? Where the non-Jew has agreed to follow the rules of the Jewish transactions. The non-Jew agreed to follow the non-Jewish process. Why does he need money? So he's got money and Mashiach. It looks like he's doing money and Mashiach. Why is he doing money and Mashiach? Answer the Gemara, Hachika Amar, Afal Pisha Nasan Mois, even though he gave the money over, because he agreed to follow the Jewish tradition, therefore, even if he gives over the money, unless he does the Mashiach, there's no transaction. And so, then we've got a problem. How can he give it back in the first one? He says, if he did the Mashiach without giving the money, he can give it back. Yeah, but if you're saying he's following Jewish rules and therefore Mashiach wins and money is irrelevant, so how can he give it back when he did the Mashiach, even if he hasn't given the money? is a kasha the reisha. There's Amar Abaya, reisha, the reason why I can give it back is not because the kinyan is an invalid kinyan, but mishum deikom mekachtos. Even if you do a valid mechanism, but if the whole thing is based on a mistaken pretense, then the sale is null and void. So when he bought it, he was trying to buy bocce balls, he was not trying to buy a avodah zarah. So when he ended up with a avodah zarah in the box, the whole thing is a mekachtos. Is Amar Le Rava, so Rava says back to him, what are you talking about? Reisha mishum de'ika mekatos, so the sefer leka mekatos. If you're talking about it because of a mekatos, then who cares whether we did kesef, mashicha, stand on your head? It's always a mekatos. You never intended to buy a avodah zarah. You should always give it back. Ella, Amar Rava, both of them are mekatos, taka. Reisha mishum mekatos. If you're talking about a mistaken sale, that's true either way, no matter what sort of kinyan he did. But Reisha, the layohib zuzi, in the first case of the Brisa, where he hasn't paid over any money, since he hasn't paid the money, it doesn't look like it's his. Someone watching, yeah? So when he gives it back, he's not getting his money back either. He's just handing it back. So it doesn't look like he's selling over to Zara. Sefer, the Yohib Zuzi, but once in the sefer, when he already handed over the money, it looks like you've got it, and then you're handing it back and getting money for it. It looks like you're selling it to him. Abayah says back to Rava, no, Reisha Mekatos. Why is it a Mekatos in Reisha de la Yoda? He doesn't know that there's a Verazara in there, because he hasn't given it to him yet. He's just done the money. Zuzi, he hasn't handed over the money, and therefore he hasn't checked yet. A person, when he buys something, calls money, hasn't handed over the money yet, he's not so worried about investigating where it's okay, because he figures, at the end of the day, if it doesn't work out, I won't give him the money, and that's it. Sefer, la mekatosu, you cannot say that in the sefer, the kevah, the yoiv, zuzi, since he already handed over the money, it's impossible that a person hands over money without checking what's in there first. It's kika moshich, yiboy leyuni, v'hadom yimshich. If he hands over the money, he's going to check out what's in the box before he hands over the money, because the guy could give him an empty box, for all he knows. And therefore, it couldn't be called a mekatos. Ravashi Yomar, Rashi says, Midrash to Mashiach Eina Kaina, Sefer Na Mashiach Eina Kaina. In both cases, we're talking about the Mashiach doesn't make a Kenyan. So why does it say then that he's got it? I did Tana Resha Moshach, Tana Sefer Na Mashach. The Mashiach is taki irrelevant. It's the money. Yeah? And why does he mention the Mashiach in the Sefer? Only because he mentioned it in the Resha. Ravina Omar made a sefer, Mashiach Kaina, Resha Na Mashiach Kaina. In the sefer where he made the Mashiach, we said he is Kaina. So in the Resha, when he made the Mashiach, is also Kaina. So why can he give it back? Reisha Hachik Amar Imloy Nasan V'Loy Mashach. It doesn't say if he didn't give the money and he made a Mashiach. It means if he didn't give the money and he didn't make a Mashiach, then he can give it back. What do you mean give it back? He didn't make a Mashiach yet. Nothing to give back. You can only give it back if you're giving it front. Yeah. So it's still in his hand. What do you mean give it back? It's my Yachsa Yachsa B'dvorim. It doesn't mean give back the object. It means back out of the transaction. Say no, I changed my mind. I'm not taking it. Why? So what's the chiddush of that? He holds that back out on your word makes you be a guy who's mechaser amana, and then the whole halach is and get mishapara. There's all sorts of nasty repercussions if you go back on your word. And the hanimili is throw me throw the kama dibarai. That only applies when you're dealing with another Jew, because we expect ourselves to keep our word, and therefore if you back out of the word, you said you were going to buy something and you said no. Technically, you can change your mind, but ethically, you become an untrustworthy person. When a person makes a deal with a guy, since in general they backed out on their words, then we don't assume that those words are there, and therefore he can just change his mind and say, sorry, Mr. Guy, I'm not taking it anymore. Okay, today's daf is Yodal, we've got 3 minutes to do it. Says the Mishnah, Kol HaKachim Shekarabum Kavu HaLakdeshem V'Niftu. Any holy animal which had a fixed mum already before he made it hektish. So it was already a bal mum before he even started. Yeah, so it never really had kedushas aguf then. It only had kedushas domim. And now he redeemed the kedushas domim, is now it's chulin. It's therefore chayavim bechura. If it gives birth to a firstborn, it's a bechur. Matonis, you have to give, if you shecht it, they give this roya v'l'chayam l'kevet to the koyin. The yoytzin l'chulin, and it becomes chulin completely. Ligazes with a yavid. You can shear the sheep, you can work with the bull. Vladan v'chalov and mutar, the children are chulin. You can use the children. You can milk it, the cow, and it's mutar. That's all good. La'acha pidyoina. Once you redeemed it, yeah, because now it's chulin. V'hashoich don b'chutz is potter. There's no problem of shchutei chutz. If you have a korban and you shecht it outside the Beis HaMikdash, is chayev for shechting outside the Beis HaMikdash. But this one never got kedushas aguf in the first place because it had a mum before you made it hekdish. Therefore, if you shecht it outside the Beis HaMikdash, he is potter. Ve'eino is in tzmura. Similarly, if he says this one instead of that one, the second one has not become kedush. It's not tzmura. Ve'imesu, if it died before he had a chance to redeem it, is still yipadu. You can redeem it anyway because it's not a kedushas domim. You can't redeem a dead carbon, but you can redeem a dead object, and therefore this balmum, it's like an object. It's not like an animal. Chutz, the exception is min habecher ben ha-maiser. Becher and maiser, if a becher is born with a mum kavua, he's still got the holiness of a becher and a kedushas aguf. And a maiser behema lo yavakir ben tov l'ra, when you count the sheep and you go 8, 9, 10, the 10th one, even if it has a mum kavua, is still maiser. Those are the two exceptions. Bechol shekara mekdesh nes mumon, if the animal was first hektish and then it got a mum, or you made it hektish when it only had a temporary mum, and then it got a permanent mum, which makes it not fitting for carbon, and then niftu. So now you've redeemed an animal that had kedushas aguf and got a mum. So once you redeem it, it's peturim min habechera. It's psulei hamikdashin. We said psulei hamikdashin is potter. We learn katzvi v'cha'ayol. It has to be like a deer and a whatchamacallim, and they don't have. Oh no, that was about the seh. Take it back. Forget about the tzvi. They're potter. We'll see how we know this. We'll potter from the becher. Umin amatonis. You don't have to give it, the matonis, to the kohen. The enyan yetz nechul negoz layoved. You're not allowed to use it for work and for shearing, even though it's psulei hamukdashim, but because it has that holy aspect to it. Vladim lechalav and also lachapijayim. Even after you deemed it, you're not allowed to use the kids. You're not allowed to milk it. Vashaytan bechutz is chayiv. This one we will have to say is talking about where the mum is something which we said in olu lo yerdu, because if it was a mum that would not allow to go on the mizbeach, he would not be chayav for shchutei chutz, as we learned in chulin, and therefore it must be talking about something where if it was on the mizbeach would be okay, and therefore if he does it outside of Beis HaMikdash is chayav, v'eisin tmura. If you swapped it because it had kedushas aguf, then it has a din of tmura. V'imesu, if it died before you redeemed it, you cannot do anything with it. You cannot redeem a dead psulei hamikdashin, and therefore you cover it. You have to just bury it. Okay, to be continued.